As we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note and highlight journalism that stood out this week. So, Noam Scheiber, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that caught your attention?
Sure. I don't know if this is so much of a positive note as far as a reflection of positive news in the world, but it was a good piece of journalism. It was a story in the Chronicle of Higher Education by Tom Bartlett and Nell Gluckman, and they went back and exhumed an incredible amount of detail about a sexual harassment story at Harvard in the political science department in the early 1980s. And the story, it was kind of reported on a bit at the time in the Harvard school paper, The Crimson, and a little bit here and there in kind of in the academic press. But they really reconstructed it in a ton of detail, and obviously are looking back, from the vantage point of the current moment. And what's striking about the story is, this is the early 1980s, and it was basically handled the way that you would have expected something to be handled up until kind of mid 2017, so mm-hmm. the administration didn't ignore it. They sort of acknowledged it, but they put really a ton of the burden on the female professor who was harassed, and ultimately she was seen as a star, but was ultimately decided to go to a different university, and the harasser stayed and became more and more prominent at the university in the field. So it just felt so similar to stories that we've heard, 30, 35 years later. And I think that was what was so striking about it.
Wow. Just bringing this up, Noam, you cannot even keep up with the stories around Me Too. One of the pieces I want to read over the weekend is the PBS NewsHour had an explosive piece about sexual harassment within the U.S. Forest Service. There's also stories about harassment allegations against the Native American writer Sherman Alexie. I mean, it's so hard to keep up right now, but so much continues to happen.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's been said before, but it's just true. It just feels like we're in the middle of a kind of social revolution, and it's just touching pretty much every part of, certainly the workplace, but, far beyond.
Yeah. So, all right. Kudos to the Chronicle of Higher Education. And we will find that story and put a link on our website right after the show. That is Noam Scheiber. He is a labor and workplace reporter for The New York Times. What about you, Josh Idelson? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, Rose, like Noam, I also chose a depressing story. Mine is by Marianne Levine, a terrific reporter at Politico, who wrote an investigation called Behind the Minimum Wage Fight, A Sweeping Failure to Enforce the Law. This is a many-month investigation that combines personal narratives, data, a tremendous amount of reporting, going to every state to try to figure out what actually happens when the government concludes that you're owed money, whether it's for overtime that wasn't paid, or being paid a lower rate than is legal, or working off the clock. And the survey that Marianne did of states estimated that maybe $2 out of $5 that have already been determined to be owed to someone never get paid. She looks at the zealousness and the cleverness with which companies are able to get around alleged money owed due to wage theft, and the lack of zealousness, the lack of comparable resources and aggressiveness on the part of states that leads to a lot of money that it's been concluded was wrongly not paid to someone in the first place, not getting paid to that person ever. It's an excellent work of journalism.
Josh, what do you think will come of this piece?
Well, we're in a moment where progressive changes on labor and employment policy tend to come at the state and local level and not federally. That was even to a significant extent true under the Obama administration, but far more so now. There are efforts by some state attorney generals, for example, to look more aggressively at their authority to get involved in employment law enforcement. There are also efforts to create new structures or systems for enforcement at the state and local level, but these are trends that are fairly geographically limited and are happening within a context of course, lots of austerity.
Well, we saw this story. We definitely want to have Marianne Levine on to talk about this piece, Behind the Minimum Wage Fight, A Sweeping Failure to Enforce the Law. This is in Politico, and we'll put a link at yourcallradio.org. Since you brought up wages, I want to quickly ask you both a question before we dive into the Supreme Court case. You both regularly write about flat wages. And Noam, in the New York Times this week, Eric Posner, a professor at the University of Chicago Law School, and Alan Krueger, professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton, wrote about how corporate America is suppressing wages for many workers. I've never heard of this, but it's called monopsony power. It's the term used by economists to refer to the ability of an employer to suppress wages below the efficient or perfectly competitive levels of compensation. Can you tell us about this just briefly?
Sure, yeah, this has been kind of an increasing focus of economists, and Alan Krueger has really been at the leading kind of edge of this over the last few years. Monopsony power is basically kind of an analog of monopoly power. So if you're a consumer and there's only, you know, one company selling you an iPhone, chances are the iPhone's going to be, you know, pretty expensive and may not be the highest quality. Sorry to pick on Apple there, but or say smartphone, right? If there's only one smartphone, it's probably going to be expensive and not super high quality. Fortunately, there are more than one smartphone options. In the same way, if you're looking for a job and there's only one employer in town that's hiring for the job that you do, chances are they're going to be able to offer you less than they would have to offer you in a competitive market. And when you further add to this what we know about how people raise their wages, which is often either jumping from one job to another or getting another offer and taking that back to their employer and saying, I'm going to leave for this higher offer if you don't raise my wages, you see how over time this can really suppress wages. So that's the basic idea. And then what Alan has done and other economists and reporters like some of my colleagues have done, and I've reported on this a bit too, is just kind of drill down on some of the other tools and clever ways of kind of making it harder for people to switch jobs. I mean, one of the most prominent ones that has gotten some attention, my colleague Connor Doherty has written about this, is so-called non-compete agreements. We typically think of, a star trader at an investment bank or something might get a non-compete, so he couldn't take all the proprietary trading secrets across the street to a competitor. But in recent years, we've seen a lot of companies require these non-competes from just very low-skill, low-wage workers. There was a famous case with Jimmy John's, the sandwich restaurant chain, that required workers to sign these non-competes. And it can just be devastating to your ability to raise your wages. Again, you typically get a wage increase when you either do or theoretically could go across the street to the competitor. But if you've signed a non-compete and the employer has indicated that they will enforce it with the full power of their legal team, then it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to raise your wage that way. And if you can't raise your wage that way, there aren't a whole lot of ways that you can raise your wages, especially if you're a low-skilled worker. So a hugely important story, and these the different ways that employers are trying to do this, trying to lower competition for workers, have really proliferated over the past 5-10 years, and it's just something that's just now getting more attention, and it should get a lot more.
Yes, it should get a lot more. We'll definitely put this on our show list. Find this op-ed called Corporate America is Suppressing Wages for Many Workers. Very important story, op-ed, actually. That is Noam Scheiber. He's a labor and workplace reporter for the New York Times. We're also joined by Josh Idelson, who is a labor reporter for Bloomberg News and Business Week.